Okay, let's go ahead and get started. As Ed said, Carrie went on her first short-term trip to Ecuador in 1993. I went to the Dominican Republic in 1997. And at that time, Carrie and I attended the same church, but we didn't know each other very well. I think our paths had crossed once in that time. But in 1998, I was going back to the Dominican. And at the last minute, we had someone drop off the team. And Carrie jumped in and came at the last minute. I think she had about a week to prepare, but she was a veteran by then, so she didn't have any problems. But anyway, on the way back from that trip, Carrie and I sat next to each other on the leg of the trip from Miami to Atlanta. And you talk about a nonstop trip. Carrie and I talked nonstop about missions and our heart for missions and what short-term missions had done in our lives. My first trip just impacted my life greatly. I saw God opened my eyes to how big His world really is, to the things that He's doing through short-term missions and through people who go on short-term mission trips, and He touched my life greatly. There were some immediate effects to that. My priorities changed. I wanted to share the experience with others. Both in formal settings like this and informally just talking to friends. People who know me, we did this workshop back in March at a Georgia rally, and I told people, I don't have a real outgoing, bubbly personality, but when I talk about short-term missions, if you could see inside, I'm just going nuts because it's so exciting. But I knew, even though I was excited about it, I knew that there was something more, something that God wanted me to do with the experience and with the information that He had shared with me through short-term ministries. So on that trip back from the Dominican the second time with Carrie, we started sharing together and talking. It took about another 6 months or so, but I finally shared my vision with Carrie about forming an organization and helping to facilitate short-term mission trips, help encourage people to go on trips, help churches to recruit teams, to organize teams, just to do those administrative kind of things that people are either afraid to do or for some reason or other don't know how to get started or whatever. And we want to help that process along. So November of 99, a year this month, we organized SOAR Ministries. It's an acronym for Serving Others and Rejoicing. And that's what we want to do, is serve others and rejoice at the same time. But while we're doing that, our main focus is on short-term mission trips. Carrie and I both believe that full-time missionaries are desperately needed out in the field. Short-term missions is not to be taken as a replacement for that. In fact, it might even help encourage people once you go out onto the field and see what's going on and see the work that you might want to go into full-time missions. But at the very least, we work alongside the full-time missionaries and help them, hopefully, in the process of what they're doing. And you ask, why short-term missions? Why is that such an impact? There's lots of things and lots of aspects to a short-term mission trip. One of them is that it helps promote unity in the body of Christ. Once you get with a group of folks and you plan for about 6 or 7 months and you work together, you get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ a little better. Not only just your team members, what we like to do for smaller churches, if you can't field an entire team, if you need 10 to 15 people to go on a trip and one church can't field an entire team, then you might want to get together with another church and say, hey, if you guys can come up with five, if you can recruit five, we can recruit five. And that helps unity in the body of Christ. We have a lot of new friends because of these trips, and that's great. It broadens our faith. There's something about getting out of your comfort zone, going into a culture that they have different customs, different habits, different way of life. You put yourself into an unfamiliar situation, and guess what? You have to trust God. Sometimes when we're just in our daily lives, coming and going from our jobs and our homes and our families, we neglect to trust God as much as we should, and it helps put you in a situation to trust God more. The cross-cultural learning experience. It's been really eye-opening to see how God works in other countries. They do things differently. They have different worship habits, different shopping habits. A lot of countries go to open markets. We tend to go to our pantry. You know, it's like just different ways of living. So that's a great experience. It opens our hearts and minds for missions, both at home and abroad. Some people will go on a short-term mission trip, and they might not ever go back into a foreign country again, but it does open their eyes to service and things that they can do while they're back at home. And that would be one of the goals of a short-term mission trip. Either continue to go out on the field and try different things, do different things, or at least open your eyes to the service projects that can be done at home in Christ's name. It's a life-changing experience. My life has been changed by short-term missions. And just about anybody you talk to that has gone on a trip, they'll tell you the same thing. We're all at different levels of maturity in our Christian walk, but God meets you where you are and shows you what He's ready to show you if you just open your heart and go. Individual spiritual growth. Again, there's something about getting away from your comfort zone, about putting yourself in God's hands and letting Him speak to you. You prepare your heart to be a servant's heart, or He prepares your heart to be a servant's heart, and He will show you incredible things that are going on in this world. That's kind of the background of why. I think probably all of us in this room know that any time a Christian takes on a project, we need to start that with prayer. But it doesn't hurt to be reminded on occasion that we do need to pray. We do need to build that foundation of prayer. And you just lost your picture. There you go. There are different things that you can pray for. I'm assuming that you're here today because you're either interested in going on a trip, organizing a trip, or being involved in short-term missions. Start now. You might not go onto the field till next year, maybe 2 years from now, but start praying now about how God can use you in short-term trips. Pray for the church that will be sending the team. Either you're in this on your own, that you're just interested, or you're going to go back to your church and talk to your missions committee or a Sunday school class or a youth group or something. Pray for that leadership group, if it's for an individual or if it's for a group of people that are going to start trying to plan a trip. Pray for that group. They've got a lot of decisions ahead. They've got the recruiting effort that they need to deal with, and they need to involve the congregation. And sometimes that can be a big job in and of itself. Pray for yourself. Pray for your participation, what you should do, what your role should be. It might be going on the field. It might be participating in the trip. It might be that you stay here and are a prayer partner with the team. It might be that you're in a situation where you could help financially. Whatever your role, we have a lady in our church who's sitting right in the front row staring at me who has done a great job. She is our liaison and our contact for the last 2 years for emergency purposes. So far, fortunately, she hasn't had to do anything while we're out on the field, but I know that she's back here with all the information that she needs, that should there be an emergency, she's ready to step in and take care of that and help where she can. So there's different roles, different things that people can do to be part of the short-term project. Pray for the team. People in this room, people that you meet, we don't know who the teams are going to be yet. God knows. He knows that He's working on somebody's heart. Begin praying for those people, that God would prepare them, that they would be open to God's will, for God's message in their life and what He would have them to do. Pray for their attitude of service. When you go on a short-term mission trip, that's the first thing that you need to be praying for yourself and for the team members, is that you're going with an attitude of service. You're not going to show the culture how to do things. You're going to learn from them and let them teach you and let God teach you. Pray for the missionary. I've participated in 5 short-term trips now, and I know missionaries are busy, but when we're there, they're really busy. They're worried about the team. They want to make sure we're comfortable. They want to make sure that we're safe. They want to make sure that we're healthy. And they're worried whether we're going to drink the water or not. Yeah, they have to take care of all those little details, and they're great at it. But pray for some encouragement and rest for them, because they stay busy. They love for teams to come down for the help, but they also need to be undergirded with prayer, so that they can actually serve us as well as serving their field. Pray for the nationals. There's two categories of nationals, believers and non-believers, and pray for both. I've been on trips where we primarily are associated with Christians. It is such an encouragement for them to think people from the United States would give of their time, their money, their vacation, to come down and work with them to mix concrete and lay blocks. That I know that the folks in the Dominican were just amazed that we would do that. So pray for them, because it's such an encouragement to be beside fellow Christians, and especially from America. Pray for the non-believers, obviously, that some seeds that are planted, something that they see, something that a team member says, that seeds would be planted, that they would come to know Christ as we do. When you get right into the planning and the recruiting and the organizing, there's lots of details that need to be taken care of. Obviously, the first thing you need to do is select a leader or a co-leader. And hopefully a lot of you in this room are at least thinking along those lines. But you need to have one person, one liaison, that either an organization like SOAR can work through, or at least in your church where everybody, if you're going to do it on your own, where everybody knows where those decisions are being made, who's responsible for making the decision, and who has the ultimate say-so in what kind of policies you're going to develop. You want to set some objectives and goals. If you're working on a committee, a missions committee, or a Sunday school class, or a youth group, or whatever, you need to sit down as a group and decide what kind of goals you have. Why do you want to go? What is it that you expect to accomplish? What do you want the team members to take away from them? What do you want the nationals to learn? You need to ask yourself those questions. It's always good to sit down in a planning session and just write those things out and periodically remind yourself of what those goals are, and are you working toward those goals. Because believe me, as you get closer to the trip, you're going to get real busy and real hectic into some other things, and you just want to keep those goals in your mind and make sure that you're proceeding toward where you, in the direction that you started in. You need to decide when and where. If you have 5 days to spend, you don't want to plan a trip to India, because you're going to be 2 days there and 2 days back, and that one day that you're there, I guarantee you're going to be real tired. So you probably won't be real effective. But you need to plan on how long you can go. When's the best time to go? If you're planning on working with children, different countries, school lets out at different times. So you need to make sure with the missionary, what kind of projects you want to do, and are the kids available? Will nationals be available to help? Those kinds of things. So you just need to look at those kinds of things. I believe we have some more handouts back here. So if you didn't get one, how about if you could raise your hand and just, that was good. I'm just going to continue then while we're doing that. So you want to sit down and decide when and where you want to go. You want to focus on building the team, and you need to set your team policies. Carrie and I have actually not led a youth team. While we're not opposed to leading youth teams, we are focusing on adults. Why let all the young people have all the fun, okay? There's a lot of youth ministers out there, and they plan youth trips, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But if you're going to take a primarily adult team, you need to decide what is the age limit. Who will you be taking? How many team members do you need? The smallest team that we've been on, we took a team to Venezuela to teach English classes this past summer, and we had 5 people. That was very effective. It would have been nice to have a few more people, but 5 was fine. If we were going on a construction trip to build a church, 5 people, especially 5 women, aren't going to get it. We're going to need some muscle. We're going to need some additional people. A construction trip, a good size is around 15 people. So you need to decide how many people you need for the project that you're going to have. You're going to need to focus on recruiting the team. Get involved personally with that process. Okay, sit down, make a target list of your church or your group, and send a personal letter. invite them to an informational meeting. And I always call it an informational meeting instead of a recruiting meeting, because I don't want people to think, well, I'm not going to go, so that's not a meeting for me. But like I said, there's a lot of different aspects to a short-term team that people can be involved in. So call it an informational meeting and encourage people, even if they say, I really know I can't go because of family or work or whatever, encourage them to come anyway. Be involved. Know what's going on. You never know. Sometimes people get real excited at these informational meetings, so you never really know. Invite potential team members to come to that meeting. You might want to have during the meeting or during a Sunday school hour or maybe a missions moment at church, you might want to have someone who's gone on a short-term trip to do a testimony to encourage people to go. So invite folks who have already been. If possible, if the missionary that you're going to visit is in the area, maybe on furlough or whatever, have them come over. Talk to the people about their work and about their field. Talk it up and be excited. You need somebody that's going to be excited about the trip to help recruit the team. All that will lead up to the informational meeting when you conduct those, or if you have SOAR Ministries conducted or whatever. Prepare the information you want to have, information about the missionary, about what they do, about the project that you're planning on working on. You want to provide information about the country that you're going to. That's always a fun research project that I've been involved in, is preparing the information about the countries where we go, and that's always been very eye-opening and informative for me. But prepare information about the country so the people know where they're going. Always you want to talk about teamwork, as we discussed, unity in the body, and you want to talk about flexibility. Short-term mission trips is an exercise in flexibility. I see a few smiles around the room of people I know that have gone with us. Things change. We firmly believe that you go organized and with a plan, but one of our team members threw his planning sheet out the first day and said, well, you know, we're on flexibility time here. So, because things changed a lot. So you need to be willing to be flexible and change, and know that they're going to change. I think these are our handouts. So, you want to prep already when you have the informational meeting. You want to provide information about the cost of the trip. You need to have done that ahead of time and know when you have the informational meeting so that you can provide all that information for them. Set dates, deadline dates for deposits for the trip, and have different increments where they can pay for that as you go so that you can use the money as you need it. You want to have team meetings about, I would say about 4 to 6 months out. You need to plan team meetings to train the team, to talk about cultural issues, to talk about travel in foreign countries, all of the issues that you'll need to take care of in training the team, talk about the project that you're going to be working on. If it's a VBS, you need to decide who's going to be teaching, who's going to be doing the crafts, who's going to lead games. Just like planning a VBS here in the States, only you got to take everything with you and know about that ahead of time and know who's going to do what and how that's going to work. So you always want to have your team meetings. We use a book. It's called Vacations with a Purpose. I did, on a construction project. There's a team leader's manual and there's a team member's manual. These are primarily designed for construction trips, but it does give you a good idea of things to cover in team meetings, things to think about when you're traveling in a foreign country, and kind of gives you a good start on that. Pardon? Oh, yeah, and it's by Cook Publishers, I believe. Yeah, Cook Communication Ministries. And as always, there's another aspect of the team, and that's raising the funds. And Carrie's going to take over that. There you go.
A lot of people get a bit nervous when they talk about, oh no, I've got to finance this team. And in fact, we had a guy come to the informational meeting. He turned to the page where the price was. He closed it up. He says, forget it. And he says, I'm not going. And he sat there and finished listening, but then he had already made up his mind that he wasn't going because of the money factor. But that shouldn't be the case. There are lots of different things that you can do when you're working on financing the team. First, send out letters. Why send out fundraiser letters? Because it involves everybody. As Judy said earlier, everybody has a part in the trip, even if you're not going on the trip. So, by sending out those letters, you're getting them to pray for you, you're informing them about the mission work that is going on in whatever country you're going to, and other people feel an ownership into that project that you're going on. And I know some people have the philosophy, well, I just don't want to impose, you know, I don't want to be begging, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like vacation, so why should I have them pay for my vacation? Well, I asked a non-Christian friend of mine at work, I said, what do you feel about, you know, me sending out these letters? I said, you get a letter from me, you know, just about every year when I'm getting ready to go on these trips. How do you perceive that? I said, do you really think that, you know, oh, it's a vacation, I should be, you know, coming up with my own funds by doing side jobs or whatever? I said, do you think it's rude for me to be asking? And she says, by no means. She says, you know, she says, I'm not going to go. She says, but, you know, I feel great that you're going, that you're willing to give up vacation time, that you're willing to give up the comforts of home to go. And so this was a non-Christian speaking, you know, and hopefully the Christians have that same type of attitude, you know, so it involves so many more people when you're able to go. So who should you send the letters to? You send them to friends in your church, in your neighborhood, across the country. You know, a lot of us now in our mobile society have lived in different states, have at least traveled, gone to school somewhere. You know, send them to those contacts. So it's been a while since you haven't seen them. Send a letter, let them know. The first year, they may just pray for you. Then when you send a follow-up letter about how your trip went, the next year they're interested in, oh, you know, I might be able to, you know, send them a little something this time and help them out on their trip. Send them to business associates. All your people that you work with, maybe your company or your school associates with other schools or other companies, and you talk to certain people over the phone a lot, or you email back and forth. You may never have actually seen that face, but you feel like you know them. Send them a letter as well. Send them to everyone. Send them to your relatives. We've got relatives all over the country. Send them to your neighbors as well. Send them basically to anybody that you can think of. One, you've got to have two goals. One, you want, first and foremost, that prayer support. That is the big foundation that you're trying to build. Then, yes, you are looking for the finances, but God's going to provide that. If your heart is right, if you know that this is what the Lord wants you to do, He's going to bring those finances in. But so by sending out these letters to anyone and everyone, then you're helping to build that support, both prayerfully and financially. What are some guidelines for writing a letter? First, you want to tell them why you want to go. If it's your first trip, tell them that it's your first trip. Tell them, you know, what made you get the interest in going. If you have been many times, tell them about your excitement and how you want to go back. Or maybe you have just met here at the conference. You have met somebody and you've heard about their mission and you've decided that you want to take a trip and go there. Tell somebody, you know, why you're going on the trip. And give them a little bit of background information about the mission where you're going to serve. You know, if it's at the Beth Shan Mexico Mission, tell them that there's an elderly home there and that there's a camp there and some of the things that you will be doing. Tell them as much as you can about the project as well as the missionary for where you're going. That way, for one, they're going to be able to pray more effectively for you because they're going to have more details about the trip instead of, I'm going on a short-term mission trip and I need financial support. Would you please pray about it? Thanks a lot. Goodbye. Yeah, I mean, you know, if I got that letter, I'd be like, this person really needs some help. I'm going to really pray for them that somebody's going to come along and guide them and minister to them and how, you know, that they need to be working on this trip, because that's not the way that you would want to go about it. We want to share information. If you've been before, share something about the culture that you just thought was so wonderful that you experienced before. And in fact, in our email, we kind of started SOAR. We send out a newsletter, and we have a little segment called The Cultural Experience or something like that, you know, and Judy had that one this last time, and she talked about we were eating, and we don't quite know what was in the soup we ate that night, you know. But just little things like that, you know, a little excitement, a little interest, and it's like, just gives a little bit different perspective. So as much as that you can, tell them about the work that's going to be happening there and the culture. And then, of course, you need to tell them specifics about the money that you need, or if you don't feel comfortable telling them an exact amount, you need to tell them where donations can be sent. You need to tell them whether or not they're tax deductible. If you're going through your church, obviously they are. Certain mission organizations, obviously they're tax deductible as well. You need to let them know how to make the check payable, who to send it to, what your deadlines are. You need as many details as possible in that letter, but you want to keep that letter to one page. Now that gets to be a challenge, especially if you've been on a trip before and you want to share about something from last time and you want to you know, keep the interest in, oh, I'm going to share about this. You really need to keep it to one page. We're all living in a very busy society, and, you know, if somebody gets it, and they don't have 5 hours to sit there and read through a novel, you know, about the trip. So we always suggest trying to keep it just down to one page. When the funds are received, what should you do? Always, 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 and if you're a true bred Southerner in here, you know you should send a thank you note. And for any gift you get, you know, at home, that's the way we were raised, you always send a thank you note. Well, the same way goes with receiving financial contributions. Send them a personal note, a handwritten note, or maybe a card that had already been printed up, but then you write something personal in it about how much it means that they have, you know, contributed to you financially. And send it as soon as possible after you have received the funds. Don't wait until you've received everything. You know, as soon as it comes in, send a note. Thank you so much for the check. You know, I appreciate the way the Lord is using you to participate in this trip. I can't wait to tell you about it when I get back. You know, it doesn't have to be real long. If you want it to be long, if it's a great friend, go right ahead. But send that personal note. And keep a personal record of the funds that have been coming in. I know with SOAR, Judy is, you know, organizing on all of the financial end and all that type of stuff, and I do all this other, you know, technical stuff. But she keeps a record, and she provides it to each team member at our team meetings and says, this is where you stand on your money that has come in. And then if we go through the church, then the church has their record of what has gone through the church as well, and we kind of have a checks and balances. But you as well may want to be keeping a track just so that occasionally those mistakes do happen. Oh, you know, it got deposited, but it didn't get typed in, you know, on the ledger line. So you want to keep a personal record of exactly how much has been coming in. And make sure that your team leaders are aware, that team leader that you selected, make sure that they're aware of where you are in the process. Some people will probably choose not to send out letters. We know that that's a fact. But you need to let the team leader know, no, I'm not going to send out letters. I just want you to know that no, I'm doing some odd jobs, or I'm going to use my savings for the trip, you know, and that's fine. It's a personal decision on how you're going to go about financing the team. But just make sure that your team leader is aware of where you stand in the process, and, you know, if we need to be praying harder, you know, for you and for your financial support. What about when you return from the trip? Again, send a letter. First and foremost, to all of those that contributed financially. And then secondly, to those that weren't able to support you financially, but you know were involved in praying for that trip. We don't want to minimize the fact of all that prayer support that is out there. So we enjoy, you know, sitting down, reflecting about the trip, and writing out a letter. You know, if you can throw in a picture or two, that's great. You know, give a little cultural experience that you had that can open their eyes. And there's no way you can recap a trip in one letter, but maybe it'll give you the opportunity to go back and meet with them at some time. Countries, and you have a to the market, you can find little bitty things that, you know, whether it's a small basket that's nice and cheap, you know, I mean, you hardly spent anything, but it's just a memento. Oh, yeah, that's, you know, I wonder if she's going to be going again, or I wonder how that missionary is in Mexico, and it can be a little prayer reminder for them. And then try to have a follow-up time with your team to share all the pictures and to share about the trip. You know, you come back and you're just so pumped. I mean, you're just on cloud nine, and you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, life will never be the same, because it is. It's truly a life-changing experience. But then you're going, you know, after a few days, everybody at work is a little tired of hearing about your trip, you know, and they're like, okay, Carrie, we have heard about that soup and whatever was in that soup 5 times now, you know, do you think you can come up with another story? Well, you know, I still want to talk about, I don't know what those white things were in there. Were they cauliflower or were they something else? We don't know. So have a time for the team to get together, to share your pictures. You know, if you have somebody literate technologically enough, you know, to put together a video of all the pictures that you can share, those types of things, so that you have a time of sharing and getting together with everyone. And then just general tips, don't do it all yourself. There's no way one person can, you know, do everything. One, you can't raise all the funds for your team. Two, you know, you need people praying for you, even just about your financial support. You know, don't exclude people from that. Try to do things through the church. Think how you can raise funds for yourself, but how could we do something to raise funds for the entire team? And some people don't feel comfortable with that. Some people feel very comfortable with that. Some people are like, let's have a yard sale at the church, you know, or let's have a bake sale, or let's sponsor a Wednesday night dinner to raise funds, and all those funds will be going to the trip. You know, you need to think different ways. Think outside the box of all the possibilities, car washes, just tons of different opportunities that are out there. If it's a youth team, you know, raking leaves for folks, you know, doing some of those types of little fall projects or spring projects that can help generate some funds for you. And always, you need to think about the fact of, all right, how much work goes into this bake sale or this yard sale, and how much are we going to get out of it financially or information-wise for people knowing about the trip? If it's going to be a ton of work and you just don't think you're going to get the people through, even financially, or to even come and learn about why you're doing this, you know, then maybe you shouldn't do that. There's a lot of work leading up to going overseas, and so you need to make sure that you channel your energies efficiently so that you don't spend a lot of time doing a million different small projects, you know, and you're getting in $100 for all of those small projects, you know, and your trip is $800. You know, so you really need to think about the return on each one of those. And remember that no matter what, our God will meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And that is so true. And I think that we forget about that. And that's, again, back to the building that foundation of prayer from the very beginning, that if we're building that foundation and the Lord has truly called us to go, then he is going to meet all of those needs that we have. And then the fun part. I don't know why I always get to do this fun part of the presentation. Once you're on the field, I guess she's just so generous. What do you do when you're on the field? Well, you continue to have those team meetings that you have had leading up to the time. Don't just go and do the project and go to bed every night. You know, yes, you're going to be dog tired at the end of the day. And if you're not, then you need to be planning more things because you don't want to have so much lax time that people get bored on a trip. You know, but have those team meetings in the evenings or in the morning, whatever fits the schedule best, to talk about what you have learned or, you know, what is the neat experience. We always go around. We have ours in the evening and we have devotion times with them. And so we rotate who's going to have devotions, and we say, okay, before we begin devotions, I want everyone to share one unique experience today. You know, and it may be that they tried some new food. It may be that they actually had a revelation and could understand someone that was speaking Spanish to them and they didn't know that before. Or, you know, we had one man that was approached by a man on the street that wasn't a Christian, and it was just this phenomenal experience. It was like he came up to you and was asking you about why you were here, and you were actually able to talk to him about Christ, you know, and here he was, you know, had been threatening Christians before, you know, threatening to literally kill them before. So it's like, you know, you want to share those experiences right then. Don't wait until you come back. Share them along the way. Also, delegate and rotate different responsibilities. I mentioned devotions. At our team meetings, we send around a sign-up sheet of the days that we have, and we say, okay, we're going to have a devotion for each one. Please sign up for one. We don't make everyone do that on a devotion, but we encourage that. And if not, then, you know, on our trips, then we kind of take up the slack. You know, one of us will have two, or both of us will have two devotions, whatever. But then when you get there, there'll also be responsibilities like taking out the trash, cleaning up the kitchen, you know, depending on your different living arrangements. And so you need to delegate that. It is a team effort, you know. So yes, you have burning trash duty today, you know, and you have to go around, collect all the trash, take it out to the burn pile. You have to sit there and watch it until it burns and make sure that it is out by the time you leave so that you don't catch the rest of the camp on fire. And if you can't do it, then you call on Mark to come over and help you light it. Like, I never could get it lit. So delegate all of those different responsibilities along the way so that it is truly a team effort. You need to establish different rules for traveling. Don't go off by yourself, you know. Always make sure someone knows where you're going. And I have to just tell this funny story. And I didn't share it with my team until after the fact that it had happened. But another girl and I that were on the trip together, we were both what we would consider veteran short-termers, had been on various trips. And so we decided that when we were returning, we were going to have like a 5 or 6 hour layover in Monterey. And we didn't want to just sit around this little bitty airport. I mean, little bitty airport. So we decided that we were going to find out about going out into the town. So we said, well, we'll go upstairs and go find out about the taxis. So off we went. And I think we said, oh, well, we're going to go off, you know, we're going to go walking. So off we go walking. And I think the only thing that we had were ourselves. We didn't have our tickets with us or anything else. You know, we had left them, all of our secure belongings with... Well, I said nothing. We had left all those secure belongings, you know, back with the person that was watching everything at the gate. So off we go, and we're heading upstairs. we walk up and we're like, this is in baggage claim, okay? And we see the taxi little sign, so we go over and I'm talking to them and I'm asking them how much it would be and everything. And I get a little price quote, you know, they write it all down for me and I'm like, oh great. So I just turn around to head back down the same stairs where I came. And this lady's just yelling and yelling, and I figured she was yelling at somebody else, so I just didn't pay a bit of attention to her, and I just continued down the stairs, and then finally she bangs on the side of the wall, and she yells, Señorita! And I finally got my attention, and I'm like, yes, and she's like, you can't go that way, and I'm, you know, back and forth in Spanish, and I was like, what do you mean I can't go this way? I just came up this way. You can't go that way. And I'm like, but this is where all our stuff is, you know, down here over at the gate, that's where all our stuff is. No, you have to go out these doors and around. We're looking, and there's like all these people standing at that door. It's like something, you know, some big wall there that they can't cross over or something. And I'm like, are you sure we can get back in? Yes, go out this door and you can get back in. So I'm like, come on, Kim. So out we go, and we're ready to walk back in, you know, just like normal security at the airports where you go through and the baggage check, you know, they scan all your stuff. We're getting ready to walk through. They said, well, where's your tickets? I'm like, well, our tickets are at our gate. You know, no, and you have to have your tickets to go through. I'm like, no, you don't understand, but all our stuff is being watched, but nope, you can't go. And I'm like, you don't understand, our entire team is over there. You know, so we went through this whole tirade back and forth in Spanish, and he finally was just like, let me go find somebody that speaks English. And so off we went, you know, and he's kind of dragging us in tow, you know, to go find somebody that speaks English, you know, and I actually understood him perfectly well. He just was thinking that I was telling him wrong or something. And we went through this whole escapade to finally they had to reissue us boarding passes. They had to call down to the gate that truly we were on that flight and the whole nine yards. Very different than the States. So lesson learned, don't go anywhere without your passport and your ticket because you won't know that you can actually get back in. But we neglected to tell Jeannie and the rest of the team until the next week when we were back in the airport. We didn't want them to fret, you know, about anything. So we didn't do that. Yeah, you know, might as well have the trip fully over, you know. But you need to establish all those rules. And then just general tips. Make sure that you have an identifier on the luggage that we use, like yellow strips, and put on everybody's luggage so that we have men over there, or not always the men, because some trips are just the women, but we have certain people over there pulling off the luggage and others guarding it. All they have to look for is that yellow tag. They don't have to know, you know, is it a brown bag, is it a gray bag, or whatever. Make sure that you have your name and address outside as well as inside the luggage. You know, tape it inside that luggage. A lot of people forget about that. Check for the airline tickets. And the airlines to make sure before you're leaving the country, you know, that they're still happening, you know, and then you'll still get there and they will have canceled the flight and then you'll have to figure out something, but that's okay. But at least you know that you have done your preparation part. And that's a little inside joke between the two of us. We also wear shirts that have a little saying on the back. It says to love is to serve, and it has our little logo on it, and everybody has the same color shirt so that when we're walking through the airport, it's easy to spot the group and you can just count heads. Up, 12, got them, you know, all right, we're ready to go. So that you can keep up with everybody. Wearing neck pouches, you know, or fanny packs, something where you can keep all of those personal belongings. Having extra copies of your passport. You need to have a paper copy of it as well as your real thing. So lots of different just tips when you're traveling. And then remember all the keys. Remember to pray. Remember flexibility. It may happen that on day one that schedule that you have done has been thrown out the window. That's okay. God will provide, you know, he will provide a way for everything to work out. Constantly emphasize teamwork in all that you're doing and the preparation. You may have to have times after team meetings or other times during the day where you're preparing for the next day so that you're actually getting some of those things prepared for the crafts or whatever. Always have a good attitude, you know, and if you see somebody that doesn't have a good attitude on your team, you know, try to joke with them and maybe bring them out of their funk. But if not, you know, eventually somebody needs to kind of pull them aside and say, hey, what's going on here, you know? And I was that way on our Venezuela trip just due to a lot of health difficulties and everything else. I mean, the first 2 days, they were probably ready to ship me back because I felt so miserable. You know, all I wanted to do was stay in bed, you know, and I'm sitting there trying to trudge along, you know, and everything. And then finally, I think it was like second night of devotions or whatever, you know, and I due to a lot of prayer and medicine, I was able to finally get over it. And then they were like, you're a different person. It's so nice to see the new carry back, you know. And so that does happen. But, you know, hopefully your team will feel comfortable enough to say, okay, snap out of it, like somebody did to me that day. They're like, okay, Carrie, what's your problem? You know, snap out of it. So always work on building that team unity. And remember that always when you're on the field, you know, you are the light that they're seeing. You may be the only Jesus that they ever see. So all of those habits need to stay at home, those smoking habits, even different, you know, I know men sometimes now wear earrings or pierced tongues, et cetera, et cetera. Where we were in Mexico, that is a major stumbling block. So we had to ask, you know, please don't wear your earrings in public, you know, things like that. You need to be culturally sensitive. You need to talk to the missionary so that you don't cause more trouble for that missionary by going down there and trying to assist them. So you need to be very sensitive to all of that. And I believe now we're going to watch a short little video, if you'll just give me a half a second. Oops. What is that? This is it. Linda, would you turn off the lights? And probably one over here. Y'all may want to. I can't turn this much more because the computer will unattach. So y'all may want to scoot up that way. As you can see, short-term trips, there's just so much involved, and you really just impact so many different lives and are able to do so many different things on the different impacts that are made. Oh, am I doing okay, I'll do it. We've changed our presentation a little bit over the last little bit, so sorry. Yeah. In fact, last night we were building this presentation, so that's the actual presentation on computer. But there are lots of different things that happen by being on a short-term trip. First, who benefits from the short-term trip? The people that go obviously benefit from the short-term trip. Remember, it's beyond anything that you can actually plan for. It's how the Holy Spirit works in each individual person, and it's different for each individual person. It's renewal, sending the team. Oh, wow, there is work going somewhere else going on besides in our four church walls. We're a help and encouragement for the full-time missionary. It's amazing that the first trip that we took down to Mexico 2 years ago, during our team meetings, Chris was just coming, just sent. She was like, I just want to hear, you know, devotions. I just want to hear y'all. You know, y'all are just such an encouragement to me just to be able to spend time with y'all, even just in the devotion time, not to mention the extra support that you're giving to the work. And it's an encouragement for the believing nationals, for them to realize, hey, they're giving up their vacation, they're finding finances to actually make the trip down here, to make the sacrifices, and to come down here. And finally, it's a witness to the non-believing nationals. And we hope that it's quite evident through us of the light that is shining, that Jesus is in us. In fact, in our English classes, I had someone come up at the end, and actually not to me, but actually to the person, with the missionary there, and said, you know, we've taken lots of English classes, because that was an upper middle class area that we were working with. So we've taken lots and lots of English classes, but we've never had a teacher who has done it with such love. You know, well, it's because of the love of Jesus. That's the only reason that I'm down there teaching English, you know, or that I'm teaching VBS, or that I'm pouring, you know, concrete somewhere. It's because of Jesus. It's because he has given that vision. He has put, you know, that love in my heart. He has saved me from eternal damnation, and I want everybody else to be saved. I want to take them all with me to heaven, you know, and that should be our goal. And one way to do that is through short-term missions. And we hope that through short-term missions, people will go, they'll get the excitement, and maybe they will go back. We had a girl that went on our Venezuela trip. It was her first short-term mission trip. While she was down there, she was talking to the missionaries. There was a need. She was recently out of college with an English major. They were needing an English teacher. And what do you know, that she's back down there right now for a year teaching English alongside those same missionaries. And who knows, at the end of that year, who knows what the Lord has in store for her. Maybe it will be full-time service. Maybe she'll just come back and be the one that's a mobilizer at her church in that missions committee and getting them on fire and getting the rest of the church on fire. You never know what the Lord is going to use through a short-term mission trip, but he will use it in some way, shape, or form to change you and to change many other lives. We've got just a few minutes, according to my watch. We've got about 6 minutes for questions. If any of y'all have questions for us, yes. There are two different ways that we kind of cover to make sure that end, and I'll say, and then Judy can expound since she's actually paralegal. One is going through the church. If everything is funneled through the church for the actual work, then the entire trip, you know, whatever funds come in, it is tax deductible. Checks are made payable to the church, and the church pays out to each one of them. And then the other is the short-term organization like SOAR that would be a 501c3 designated charitable organization. Any funds that come in can be used for the airfare, for everything that goes into involved in the short-term trip. Anything to add to that?
No, I think pretty much we so far have been having the funds being made payable to the church. And as long as those funds then go back out and are used for the short-term trip, that's fine. We actually have just, SOAR Ministries has just filed for our 501c3, so eventually for our organization, we'll have those funds come into us so that we can manage them a little bit better. But as long as there's that designation or it's made payable to the church, that's fine.
I'm from a very small church. Do you doing a short-term mission trip, you were talking about different areas of the world. Do you go beyond the missions that you support in your church? So you look for different areas to go into, even though it's, you know, because we kind of think when we think about short-term mission trips, we kind of think about visiting the missionaries that we support, and it kind of sounds like you're going beyond that.
Either way is fine. It is an encouragement for if your church has supported a missionary for a while or even just a year, it's good to go down and see what the work is like, what they do, so that you can come back and report on that. And there's a good enthusiasm level for the particular missions that you support. But either way, if there's another area that you want to get into or another country that you want to go to, or if, say, you want to do a construction project but the missionary that you support doesn't necessarily have that need right now, then we do other trips as well.
So does SOAR as an organization help all the churches to do this kind of stuff?
We help in that decision-making process. We can do that. We either, our role is kind of what you want it to be, from just providing information to you about how to go about planning a trip, or we can actually lead the trip with you and for you. We could be involved in the recruiting process. We can be involved in the team meeting process, depending on where the locations are. We both still have full-time jobs, but we are dedicated to doing this, and so we're
really will be full-time in the next
1 week. That's what our prayer is. But does that help a little bit? Okay, yeah.
Do you have any recommendation for books or reading materials for team members since it says it helps us communicate issues with other churches?
The Vacations with a Purpose book is very good. Actually, I was at a workshop yesterday with Team Expansion. I will recommend that you look at Team Expansion's website, and they have a resource button there. And he said, when you click on the resource button, go to Amazon.com. And that actually helps Team Expansion also because apparently they get like a discount or something if you go through their website as opposed to going to Amazon.com. So that helps.
A fraction of whatever you spend,
find books. Right. I believe that's how that helps them, yes.
Yes.
Would you recommend...
Either way, but it is good to have some experience. I went as a team member in 97 on my first trip, and then in 98 I led a trip. And it did help to just go out and just be the team member and not have to worry about, you worry about some things, but not have to be responsible. Let me put it that way, not be responsible for what everybody's doing or whatever.
But that's not always
better.
Conducive. So, I mean, if in your church, you had a certain person that you wanted to do it and you weren't going to go through anybody else, I would say look and make sure that person has a lot of leadership capabilities. And if they have experience in leadership and just haven't made it overseas yet, then through whoever's helping plan the trip, you know, I mean, and the contact with the missionary, they can kind of help in some of that. But as Judy says, the first and foremost is that they will at least have been to the field. We are leading a team to India in March, and neither one of us has actually been to that field before. But we have experience in traveling in short-term trips. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways that you have to look at the experience. Any others?
We build into the cost of the trip project funds so that once the cost is established, there's funds available for if you have to go out and buy craft materials or whatever, you bring the receipts to your team leader and you're reimbursed for that. But certainly, never is any cost defrayed to the missionary. And in fact, hopefully you planned your expenses well enough to where you can leave a gift for the missionary. You might even want to include that in the cost, or at the very least, possibly Carrie's church has done this. The church actually provided a gift to be taken to the missionary so that you're actually leaving them something to remember the trip by or providing for them, but certainly never impose on the missionary for expenses.
Okay.